Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of DashPass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now, or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile, and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Little Bob here. It's America's 250th birthday, so shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. We've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving and those signature Bobapedic seats. So stop into Bob's Discount Furniture or shop online at mybobs.com, where America shops for furniture.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Whether you're a duck or whether you're a beaver, your fantasy team needs a new receiver. It's Danny and Dusty at lunchtime every day. Maybe you're a tortured fan of Rip City. Danny and Dusty are here to take pity, hoping there's not a center with bad knees on the way. Talking noon till three, Danny and Dusty on the fan. Yep, I'm singing again, cause they haven't said I can't. Danny and Dusty love the teams the rest of us revile. Raising a Blazers banner would make it all worthwhile. Noon till three.
An Odyssey station.
Hour number three here on Danny Dusty on a Monday afternoon. Thank you for being with us. Whether you're listening on 1080 AM, watching along on YouTube.com/1080AM The Fan or Twitch.tv/1080AM The Fan. We appreciate you. We love you. No Dusty, no Rusty. Will Ortner in today. Hopefully the whole gang is back tomorrow. If not, we'll drag Will in here again. But it's hour number three, and we're going to pivot back to the NFL draft. And we just talked about how NFL draft grades and killing this, that, or the other, it doesn't really make a ton of sense because all you're going off of is nothing.
You're going off of
where
I value you as a player.
Mm-hmm.
It's, hey, Danny, I think that you are a great running back. You are a round two running back for me. And then you get taken in the third round. I go, what a steal.
What an absolute steal. And obviously the biggest cases of this are the undrafted Hall of Famers like John Randall or Mr. Irrelevant Brock Purdy being a good quarterback, or the biggest one is Tom Brady being a fifth round quarterback. And there's all these things that come with it. And yes, those are the exceptions, not the rule. You don't find superstars in the NFL typically outside of the first two rounds. There are obviously exceptions. The Kurt Warners and Tom Brady's and John Randall's notwithstanding, there are second and third round, fourth round guys pretty regularly that are pretty damn good. But it's just not all that common. And so when you look at how things went during the draft, I don't know if you've seen all of the grades for every team through and through out there, Will.
Depends on each team. Each person has a different thing. Right?
I will say there is one team that's getting killed. One team. By everyone. And not even getting killed. Just everybody kind of scratching their head. Do you know who that is?
Jacksonville?
They're kind of hit or miss. It's not Jacksonville, though.
Who?
Cincinnati Bengals.
Hmm. Yeah, I get it.
The Cincinnati Bengals, with their first two picks, took Shamar Stewart from Texas A&M and Demetrius Knight from South Carolina. Defense, defense, defense. Real quick, Shamar Stewart, edge rusher. Are the Bengals currently in negotiations with their star edge rusher?
What team? I'm sorry. I'm over here.
Bengals.
Kind of podcast. The Bengals, Trey Hendrickson.
Seems like some insurance there at bare minimum.
Well, okay. So, yes, but here's my issue with Shamar Stewart. What doesn't Shamar Stewart have?
A motor?
Stats. And I get it, man.
It's the idea, because you look at him, he looks like Javon Kearse.
Great. He also plays like Jane. Looks like Tarzan plays like Jane. Because when you look at a player like that, there needs to be more stats for me personally. Now, stats aren't end-all, be-all.
This is Cameron, right? Maven 2.0.
Right. Stats.
That's what I see here.
Deion Jordan.
Yeah.
Right? Like, Deion Jordan went top five.
Yeah. And Deion Jordan was, what, 6'6 or 6'7?
Deion Jordan was huge. I mean, he could play inside. He could play outside. He was fast. But you know what he never did at Oregon?
Produce.
He never dominated. No. You know what I mean? And look, I'm not out here saying Abdul Carter doesn't have the most sacks last year. Abdul Carter didn't have the most sacks in the Big Ten.
No.
Right? Mateo Uiagalelei beat him out. But he was right there with him. Mm-hmm. And you could
see. And his production everywhere else was also
good. See when you turned on the film, like, that's a dude. He's all over the field. Turn on the film for Oregon. Jordan Birch is all over the field. Jordan Birch is making plays everywhere. He was the third round guy. Derek Harmon was making plays all over the field from a D-tackle spot. And he ended up being a first-round guy, but it made sense. Shamar Stewart is 100% built on he is a big, strong, physical kid. He's a freak athlete, but he has no stats.
Mm-hmm.
He's like 2 sacks and 15 tackles for his career.
And he also, his family scares the crap out of me.
He played for Texas A&M. Their head coach, Elko, is a defensive background coach.
Did you see his dad in the interview?
No, I didn't at all.
He had a Thanos jewelry piece.
That's dope.
And a grill in, top and bottom.
That rocks.
I immediately saw T. Morant, and I wanted nothing to do with him. I was like, nope, don't like it when the parents live vicariously through their children. Don't like that one bit. And for anybody out there who's thinking, oh, you don't like it because it's a black culture thing, I don't care about jewelry. I don't. I care about dad wearing jewelry, living vicariously through son. Dad always, if I'm an evaluator, I don't care if it's football, baseball, or basketball, hockey, I don't care. I see parents like that, I'm like, oh boy, I don't like this. Not one bit. What's interesting about the Bengals is they drafted one skill position player. Their last pick, they took a running back. Otherwise, it was the offensive line or the front seven their entire draft. They took edge, linebacker, guard, linebacker, tackle, running back. They're getting killed for their quote-unquote draft grade, but what is the thing that everybody agreed that the Bengals needed to shore up?
They need to fix that defense. It was bad. One, if you're going to let Trey Hendrickson look for his own trade.
But in the draft.
Shouldn't you get his replacement other than Shamar Stewart?
I don't disagree with that. But like, if you're talking about process, they're set at quarterback. They're set at wide receiver.
Clearly.
You want to get him some offensive line help. So you take Dylan Fairchild, the other guard opposite of Tate Ratledge from Georgia.
Yeah. Good. Stud.
Like.
Strong, physical.
Everything you look at here, despite the grade, you look at it and you go, I don't know, man. Seems like they went in with a plan to shore up their front, and they shored up their front on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, well, and it's not going to be sexy, and so the people rip on it. I would have to read the different opinions that are ripping on the mock draft. And
I will tell you, CBS, ESPN, PFF,
right?
Everything that I've gone through, every single draft grade, I've been kind of going through them this morning. The one that consistently grades the lowest is the Bengals.
See, and I don't fully get that. Like,
the Colts are tossed in there too, and I'm like,
I would toss Jacksonville in there.
Which is funny because if you look at CBS, Jacksonville gives them a B+. But their first 4 picks have A grades.
See, but here's why Jacksonville is going to be viewed as higher and why I'm going to view them lower. You gave up too much for Travis Hunter. the amount of picks that you gave up.
Another first.
You gave up another first next year.
And you're
for Trevor or for Travis Hunter.
You better win 10 games.
You better make the playoffs. If you don't make the playoffs, it's not worth it. And that's why I think it's a bad draft for them.
That's why it's process, because exactly what you're talking about. If you need to have X, Y, and Z happen for something to make sense.
Right.
The process is flawed.
No, well, you're overvaluing what you have. They are saying that Cohen is going to come in and he's going to fix Trevor Lawrence, and Trevor Lawrence is going to go back to being what we thought
on
he could
ascent.
Be out of college, right? He's going to go back to what he was his first year or two in the NFL, and they are going to go out and win 11 to 12 games. And I get it, man. The South, it's a soft league, right? I don't think that highly of the Colts. The Titans are going to be better, but they're not going to be good. So it's you and Houston, who took a clear step back last year. So you might win that division and get into the playoffs, but do you really think they're a Super Bowl team? Like, no. Best case scenario? No, absolutely not. They're nowhere near a Super Bowl team. That move for Travis Hunter is if he's the last piece.
Yeah.
And he's not the last piece,
no. And
which is why it doesn't make sense, which is why I think they should be getting ripped more.
I agree. Again, on process, I agree.
Right.
When you look at this draft, who are the teams you thought did the best?
I think a little bit homerish. I thought the Seahawks did great.
Mm-hmm.
They went out and they had a clear plan that they were going to go through for their draft. They were going to draft positions of need, and they were going to get the best athletes in those positions. And they are trusting that their coaches are going to be able to turn them into football players. They essentially, in the second round, drafted Cam Chancellor, Sean Taylor 2.0 in Nick Emanuari, right? If Jalen Milroe can learn to accurately throw the football short and medium, he is
It's a big ask.
It's a big ask. And you haven't really seen it happen for anyone except for maybe Josh Allen.
Yeah.
But if you can turn him into that, he's a top five QB if the other athletic intangibles are there and stay the same. Right?
Sure.
But if he doesn't, you wasted a third round pick on him. Gray Zabel is one of the freakiest guards athletically in the NFL walking in right now. And he's also a guy that has starts in college at every position.
Yeah.
He can play guard, he can play tackle, he can play center.
And he has.
Right. And that's huge.
That's a lot of versatility, not just from like the standpoint of, well, he can be here, there. Like, he's the kind of guy where I think the best offensive lines in football have these guys. You look at the Lions, you can move Panay around. You can move Ragnow around. Like, if somebody's dinged up, you can move a guy around. You look at the Eagles. You can move Juergens around.
You can move Becton around.
He has been moved around.
You can move,
he's played both sides, and he's been moved inside.
You can move Landon Dickerson around. The only one you really can't move around, and you're not going, well, I was going to say Johnson, but yes.
Yes, those two guys you're not moving around because they're so big.
Well, they're also so good at the position that they play, right? I feel like Philly, like you start looking at some of their picks that they had. It's like, how did that guy fall to them? How did that guy get there? How'd they come up with that
Both
guy?
Them and the Ravens.
They always find good draft picks. They always find a way to succeed.
They're not drafted for need.
No, and they're smart about the picks that they make. You've talked about your Raiders. I thought the Raiders had a good draft. And you know what? Aside from one pick, I think Cleveland had a good draft.
And you can argue. You can argue that taking Shador in the fifth round was a good pick.
You can make the argument that if you flip Shador and Dylan Gabriel, like it's Shador in the third, Dylan Gabriel in the fifth, everyone loves that draft.
Oh, yeah.
Even with taking two QBs.
Because your QB room is a disaster piece.
It's a disaster piece, and they both fit what Stefanski wants. Mm-hmm. He wants a smart quarterback who's going to get the ball out quickly, accurately, and he's not going to ask that QB
to do a lot.
To have a strong arm.
No.
He doesn't need him to. That's why they went out and they got two running backs, right? They got the Judkins kid.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was otherworldly at Ohio State. Like, remember how highly we thought of Travion Henderson going
into
this year?
Good Lord.
I'd make the argument that Quinshon Judkins was the better running back last year, and he can run physical downhill. Guess who else they got? They got the Samson kid out of Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
He's the whole Tennessee offense because it wasn't Nico, right? That was the weird thing about that offense at Tennessee, because Josh Heupel, it's usually the QB. QB, QB, QB. This one was about the running back. And Samson ran the ball well. He's a little bit smaller than Judkins, so you get that thunder lightning type feel. They had a good draft. They got Mason Graham. That dude is a beast on the interior.
You traded down. You got that capital that you got from the Jaguars, and you got one of the blue chip prospects in Mason Graham.
And he's in a position of need, and you're going to put him next to Myles Garrett. And now
terrorize people.
Now Myles Garrett's either going to get more one-on-ones, or he's going to get more one-on-ones. Graham's one weakness, what is it? Can't rush the passer. Guess who he's next to? Myles Garrett. Doesn't need to rush the passer. Or he can learn a little bit from him. And you know what you're starting to see in the NFL that have a lot of success because it's a copycat league? Undersized nose guards, undersized defensive tackles that can rush the passer, that are fast, they're athletic. Aaron Donald was able to do it. Now Chris Jones. Now you're looking at Grady Jarrett did it, right? So now you're looking at a guy like Mason Graham, who, if he can turn on that motor, what could he possibly do? It's a good draft, except for one pick.
Mm-hmm. And even then, it might end up being...
And it might end up being the best.
Really good for them. And right. I will say, going, you know, you're going to go home or the Seahawks, I am going to mention my Raiders. I have not been this happy with a draft. 20 years?
Which is funny.
Maybe longer.
Because Pete's not known for having good drafts in the moment.
Spytek, I thought, did an incredible job. You know, we talked about how if the Raiders took Genty, I was going to buy my first Raiders jersey in 20 years. I did. It'll be here once they assign him his number. Like, I will, the second it gets here, I will wear it here on the show. I will wear it proudly because I am excited about that.
Should be.
Jack Betch ripped my heart out. For those that don't know, his brother Tiger was a football player at Princeton, was at home during the New Orleans terrorist attack, and was one of the victims. And even if Jack wasn't drafted by the Raiders, I would want him to go into the NFL and be the most successful wide receiver I've ever seen in my entire life. The way he talked about his brother, and he has a tattoo of his day he was born to the day he was died on his chest. And, like, yeah, I mean, you're just like, are you kidding? Like, he goes, when he said he got drafted, he goes, you're not just drafting me, you're drafting him too. And I'm going to carry this legacy on, and I'm going to do everything I can. And all of the intel on him, the character, like everything that he is, like, I'm like, man, like, because when you think about the Raiders, you think about Bad Boys, but you also think about those kind of guys too, that have character just you wouldn't believe, whether it's Charles Woodson or Rod Woodson, whether it's, you know, yeah, they had the Romanowskis of the world, and they had the Tatums of the world, and they had guys that would tear your head off, but they also had the Art Shells and the Tim Browns, these guys of upstanding character that, you know, defined Raider culture. It's like you have the extremes of both ends, and the Raiders have missed that. They address the offensive line. They take some projects. They also couldn't resist a 6'5" guy that runs a 4.3 40.
Well, I mean, that's the Raider way.
Hey, baby, run fast, straight line. We like that. And then they took the Montana State quarterback in the 6th round.
That's a sneaky steal. He could play like 4 different positions.
One of the best athletes in the draft.
Dude, like, there's a world where he stays at QB. Like, in reality,
just gadget QB.
You're going to have a package for him. Mm-hmm. Whether you use it or not, I don't know. But there's a reason that why they call him Touchdown Tommy. He's awesome.
There's some Taysom Hill stuff to him.
Yup, where he's just bigger.
Yeah, and faster.
He runs like a 4.3.
Yeah, he's a freak. Like I said, he's one of the best athletes in the draft. Like, you look at the...
he's a freak.
What is the RAC score? Is that what it is?
RAS.
Mm-hmm. His RAS score was through the roof. Like, he's an absolute freak of freaks. So, again, process-wise, I don't know what the Raiders are. This is going to end up being. But process-wise, I think the teams that went in with an idea of what they wanted to do and who they wanted to be did really well.
I couldn't agree more. And like we've said, as good as we might think, like as good as I think the Seahawks draft is, there is a world in 5 years where we look back on it and we go, wow, they took a lot of reaches and they missed on all of them.
Yeah, those revisionist draft picks are always a lot easier to do.
Would I be shocked if Gray Zabel wasn't a really good NFL player? Mm-hmm. Yes, I would be. Would I be shocked if Milroe wasn't? No. I wouldn't.
It's a boomer bust pick. There's no doubt about it.
There are a lot of boomer bust picks. Mm-hmm. I feel like with Emenwari, I don't feel as boomer busty. Like, there's definitely a bust.
There's also,
for sure.
There is some poetic justice to Richard Sherman being the one reading his name.
It could only have been better if it was Cam.
Yeah.
Like, that's the only way it could have been better.
Because he's built just like him. What is he, 6'3", 220?
He's 6'3", 230. He's running a 4.3 40, and he had a vertical of 43.
Yeah, he's a freak.
He's unbelievable.
And he
hits. 100%. And I get it. I think this is the most apt critique of the Seahawks draft. The Seahawks went out, and they drafted a bunch of dudes who throw 104 miles an hour, but they're all erratic.
Oh, yeah.
If you can get two or three of them to be dialing it in so they're hitting 104 on the paint, that thing's over.
Yeah.
They're going to be a good team and a good franchise for a long way to come. And remember, a lot of those guys that they got, Nick Emenwari, where does he play? Play safety.
Mm-hmm.
It means he's going to be on the defense with McDonald, the same guy. Now, I don't want to say a much better prospect, but a better prospect coming out of college. He turned Kyle Hamilton into the best safety in the entire NFL.
It's a good landing spot for him.
I'm going to trust him to do the same thing with Emenwari. Julian Love can go back to his more natural position. I'm fired up.
All right, let's pivot back to the NBA because outside of the Damian Lillard injury, before that injury happened, we had some of the best playoff basketball we have seen in a while, including the closest game winner in the history of basketball in the Clippers and Nuggets game. We'll get to that next here on Danny and Dusty, 1080 The Fan.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier entirely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Little Bob here. It's America's 250th birthday, so shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. We've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving and those signature Bobapedic seats. So stop into Bob's Discount Furniture or shop online at mybobs.com, where America shops for furniture.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It goes without saying, the best playoff series in the first round belongs to the Denver Nuggets and the Los Angeles Clippers. A game that ended 101-99 in a game that the Denver Nuggets scored 16 points in the fourth quarter. They were outscored 34-16 after outscoring the Clippers 35-17 in the third quarter. Came down to the final stretch that saw Nikola Jokic throw up an air ball and Aaron Gordon get a putback where 9/10 of the ball is through the rim with 0.1 seconds remaining, but his fingertips are still on the ball. In the moment, I jumped up and went, that has to be good.
Same.
Like, I don't care if his finger, like, if you want to say the ball needs to be out of his hands, blah, 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 the ball is too far through the rim. It's just too, like, it is the closest game winner I've ever seen, ever.
It's the last since, like, the 90s where someone has actually had a
point
dunk.
One. Yeah.
And it be a buzzer beater. I felt like whatever they called on the court was going to be correct. Like, I don't think, let's say they wave it off, they say it's after. I don't know that video could have completely changed it.
I'm with you. If your immediate reaction on the court was no good,
then it was going to be no good.
I think you could
OT.
Say that it was no good because his fingertips on the ball. But, like, it's one of those things where I would be like, I probably would have counted that.
And I'm glad that they did, because I'm a big believer also sometimes, if it's really cool, just let it go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, hey, that was awesome. Let it go. Let it be a thing.
The dead sketch.
Yes. Hey, that was awesome. Let's count it.
Yeah.
But I think the fun thing about this series is it's really showing the world, again, who the best player is.
Yeah.
Like, SGA is probably going to win the MVP.
Yeah, no, he's...
The only reason that the Nuggets are in this series at all is because of a dribble down the Clippers' leg, figuratively and literally, in Game 1. Kawhi and Harden had multiple bad turnovers in the fourth quarter. Just bad. And then
this
Jokic being unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 36-21-8.
He's 36, unbelievable.
36-21-8. They got 4 points from their bench. The starters for the Nuggets in this game played 43, 42, 43, 42, and 43 minutes.
And you weren't getting a great game from Porter. Your fine game, but he's out there with one shoulder.
Yeah, I mean, the rebounding was not going to be there because of the shoulder, which you saw. He only had 4 rebounds, no offensive rebounds.
It hasn't been a great series for Jamal Murray.
Like, no.
He's been fine.
I mean, he was 5 of 17. He was objectively not good. And not only was he not good as a scorer, they hunted him.
Right. Like, it feels like in this series, it's Jokic. Aaron Gordon's going to be awesome too, but he's awesome because Jokic is awesome. It's not Aaron Gordon creating for himself. Mm-hmm. It's him doing that, playing strong defense and then getting great offensive rebounds and getting his points that way. And then it's just a hope between Porter, Braun, and Murray that one of them is going to come up big and have a bunch of points.
Or otherwise, you get what you got when you got 14, 17, and 17. Like, you get enough from the collective.
Exactly.
You basically get 38 plus points from those three guys.
And you can notice it too, where, like, Jokic is just going to decide in certain spots where he's like, I have to score.
Oh, I mean, the frustration is overwhelming. You can see it's like, oh my God. Like, he has looked at other teammates, particularly off the bench, of like, you can't play.
Right.
Like, you don't belong here.
Well, and at times it almost looks like he's coaching, where he's like, hey, no, I need this player in for this specific play this minute. And you'll look on the box score and be like, why that guy play 2 minutes? Like, what was going on? Well, Jokic needed him for that play in that matchup. But the other part that I find so funny is, or maybe not funny, but just enjoyment out of this series, Kawhi's back. 2019 Kawhi is back.
Yeah, I mean, he had a quote-unquote down game for what he has been from the playoffs. He finished with 24-9-2-2 on 10 of 22, so just under 50% from the field, 2 of 5 from 3. But what ended up happening in this game was the Nuggets were able to force the ball to Chris Dunn a little bit more. He was 1 of 9 from the field, 1 of 6 from 3. Nick Batum was 1 of 6 from the field, 1 of 6 from 3. So you get 6 points on 15 shots between those two. That's, and I don't want to blame those guys, but that's where the offense kind of fell apart. Because Ivica Zubac was very good in this game. 19 points, 12 rebounds, 6 assists. This is like the key to me was the deciding factor in this series, because you can single cover Jokic with him and then kind of dictate from there. But I think you're right as far as like what the Clippers have done in this series. Right. I don't think the Nuggets have done enough to win. I think the Clippers have done enough to lose.
Right. And the part that's crazy is they've done it without the bad Harden game. Like, Harden hasn't had a quote unquote bad Harden game, and everyone knows what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, like, was he spectacular on Saturday?
No.
But 15, 11, and 4 on 5 of 11, like, he didn't dominate the shots. They shot, like, the problem was they shot 33% from 3.
Right.
That's the problem.
Right.
The Nuggets don't hit threes. And so if you just hit threes at a decent rate, they walk away with this game. But I will keep banging this drum as long as it goes on. 101-99. Games that are played around 104, That to me is the best basketball. And every one of these games that has been down to the knuckle have been this.
Well, in a lot of these series too, like there is a clear difference, I believe. And I know you don't like this because it devalues the regular season. Mm-hmm. And I'm not trying to do that. But there has been a clear difference in postseason basketball, NBA, mm-hmm. and the regular season.
It is. It might as well be a different sport.
And if you told me that, and it can never be because it's 82 games and it just isn't going to be that. But if you told me 65 of the 82 games were going to be like these playoff games, where it is fighting, scratching, clawing. Because this isn't the only series that's like this. I think the Minnesota-LA series with the Lakers has been like this. I think, for the most part, Houston and Golden State have been mm-hmm. like this. Even in a series that's kind of a blowout, Boston and Orlando, it's been kind of like
Boston's going to come out of that with scars.
Oh, literally.
Yeah. No,
Porzingis
has
Porzingis
got his forehead busted
wide. He's got the Harry
open.
Potter scar on his forehead right now. But you are seeing physical basketball. Mm-hmm. You're seeing games that are close the entire way throughout. They're not these big swings. You're seeing guys dive on the ground. You're seeing guys fight for balls. You're seeing.
Here's the thing. I think you can make that in the regular season if you officiate regular season basketball like you officiate playoff basketball.
See, and
we saw it last year.
Let's make that change.
Yes,
then.
They did it last year after the All-Star break, and everyone loved it. And then we reverted back to this perverted
foul baiting
nonsense.
This is where it sticks out in my head. I hate the foul baiting stuff. It drives me up the wall. It's why I don't like Harden.
Mm-hmm.
Game 2, Jalen Brunson.
Oh, it was egregious. It was egregious.
Well, and it isn't the worst that he's done, though.
No, it was so bad, though.
It was such bad basketball that I audibly said to the people I was watching the game with, I hate this game.
Mm-hmm.
This game went my way. From a gambling perspective, from just a fun perspective, this went my way because Detroit won. And I hated every minute of this game. Now, he's clearly backed off of that.
Yeah.
And there is a skill to it being smart.
Oh, no, no, no. It is.
Like, right?
It is a skill.
Good.
But it's the dark arts.
It's bad basketball.
Yes, it is.
It's basketball in bad faith, and it's why people have an issue at times with the NBA in the regular season. Give me this. And mm-hmm. I know you can't give me this for 82.
Because there are bad teams, but yes, to your point.
Give me 65.
No, I think you can. Well, I think you can get that during the regular season if you call games like this. Yeah. And speaking of the way games are called and fouls or lack thereof, let's keep it in the NBA and talk about that Knicks and Pistons game because that was going to carry the day from the basketball world as Tim Hardaway Jr. was tackled on a kneel, what could have been a potential game winner. Instead, no call. We'll get to that next. But first, here's Big Will Betts, the Sports Center update.
Whoa. Okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of DashPass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now, or?
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile, and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier entirely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks, no cash access, and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Little Bob here. It's America's 250th birthday, so shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. We've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving, and those signature Bob-a-pedic seats. So stop into Bob's Discount Furniture or shop online at mybobs.com, where America shops for furniture.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snaps, it's really refreshing!
I hate to, you know, kind of beat this dead horse, but the basketball was really good this weekend up until Damian Lillard suffered an Achilles injury. And the basketball that we had, a unbelievable game between the Detroit Pistons and New York Knicks, ends in a no call. And I'm still waiting. I don't think I've seen it come out yet. Honestly, I think it should be out by now. I'm looking for the Monday last 2 minute report from the NBA.
They said it was a foul.
They did. Okay.
So like, I thought I saw that.
I saw that
during
post,
the Lakers game.
They,
that's not the 2 minute. That's a different thing.
This was the referee and the pool reporter. I wanted to see exactly what the last 2 minute report was going to say verbatim. And so they've already, I can't remember who the reporter was that was available for the pool reporter after the game, but they said, yeah, he ran into him. And yeah, no bleep. Tim Hardaway Jr. got tackled. Like, I don't know how, like, look, I want to let the players decide the game, but like, it's a sliding scale. He got absolutely trucked. There's no doubt about it.
Well, here's the dumb thing about let the players decide the game. He decided to foul him.
Yeah. And look, did Hardaway Jr. like sell it a little bit? Yes, absolutely. Sure. But he has nowhere to go.
Right. Well, and
because he's being tackled in midair.
He's also right next to the sideline. Here's my thing about it. I don't like blaming the refs for your loss.
No. Because Tim Hardaway Jr., to be clear, was 5 of 16, 4 of 13 from 3.
Right.
The Pistons as a team shot 7 of 29 from 3.
Well, instead of having Cade Cunningham go one-on-one, like, put him in a pick-and-roll with someone. Run a play. Run a set. You had time to do it.
My God, how good was Cade?
Well, not only was he awesome, he got kind of outshined a little bit at the end by Cat.
Mm-hmm.
Cat couldn't miss. Like, the shot behind the backboard's incredible, and he one-ups himself by shooting a shot from Sheboygan. Like, he was way deep.
Yeah.
And fading away and bailing everyone out. Like,
look,
he was
Cat's
awesome.
Offensive talent has never been in question.
No, 100%. He's the zestiest offensive player that you're ever going to have. But I'm not a big blame the refs. 47 out of 48 minutes in that game, and that was a game where they were letting them play. That is 100% a foul.
Yes.
And it would have been called. And I don't like the swallow your whistle crowd in the last minute. Look, the James Bradbury penalty in the Super Bowl sucks, man.
Mm-hmm.
It's ticky-tacky. I don't love that it got called in that moment.
None of us liked it, but we all understood. Like, we knew what it was as soon as we saw it happen.
It was a penalty.
Yeah.
It was 100% a penalty. Mm-hmm. And if it is a penalty or a foul or a violation,
if somebody is getting disadvantaged to where it's obvious, it has to be called.
It has to be called. And look, it sucks that he goes to the free throw line with 0.5 seconds left, and that's going to determine the game.
Them's the breaks.
Don't foul him then. You know, and like, Hart's a very smart player because he's the one who fouled Hardaway there. He knew
he could get away with
it. And that's why he did it. And
Josh isn't a dummy.
The ref is right there. But the other thing, too.
And the ref quite literally is standing right there.
Right. You look at the Hawk view or whatever, he's clearly right there.
Yeah.
But this is the other one that I have an issue with, where if Pistons fans and NBA fans are going to blame the ref, where was your challenge? Why couldn't you challenge there? What did you do to lose your challenge?
Oops.
When did you challenge?
Mm-hmm.
It's the worst challenge. He challenged an out-of-bounds play that was clearly out-of-bounds on Cade Cunningham in the first quarter.
He let Cade dictate to him, and that's the thing. Look, Chauncey Billups has done this a lot. It's trusting your players, but it's also you got to be smarter about
Use your staff.
Yeah, I know.
I'm an NBA coach, I'm not challenging anything until the second half.
I mean, JB and Chauncey, they both use their staff, but also when you kind of – It's very like when you talk about baseball, when you're like, what does a manager do? Like, oh, it's just analytics. No, man, there's
there's relationships and feel, and
right.
you can say, oh, it's dumb and blah, blah, blah. It's like, look, man, you got to be in the locker room with these guys. And Fair. If you don't go to bat for them. And again, it was bang, bang. It was close, but you probably shouldn't do it there in the playoffs because of how valuable that replay challenge is that deep in the game.
Yeah. I think JJ regrets one of his challenges.
Yeah.
Because there was a play in that game where it was clearly kicked out of bounds off Minnesota, and he couldn't challenge it because he wasted his. And I get it. I get what you're saying, because that is true. And when your superstar comes to you in a pivotal game four and says you need to challenge that, it's wrong. I'd have a hard time not listening to that either.
It's just how it goes. I want to give a little note here real quick to the Memphis Grizzlies. We hardly knew ye. They are the first team bounced out of the NBA playoffs. The Oklahoma City Thunder get their sweep. And John Morant in the post-game press conference. Do we have that audio?
Oh, we have the audio.
Play that for me real quick.
I'm even scared to answer this question because, you know, stuff I say normally go viral and they tend to stick with you for forever. But I had them figured out.
Oh, God.
And going out, you know, game three, not being able to play was frustrating because that win right there could have made this totally different. I felt like we'll be on our way to OKC, series tied 2-2 right now.
Don't let the intrusive thoughts win.
What are you talking about? They were up.
That hard pause right there. No, I'm not.
They were up. What are you talking about, man? Of course you had them figured out. They were going to go 2-2.
Brother, they beat you by a combined 70 points in the first two games.
He had them figured out. He needed to. He got to spot him. He was spotting him. It's like playing pool when you're playing someone that isn't as good as you. You let him hit a couple balls in first.
It's just, but why? But why?
I love that young, dumb bravado.
Right? It's just incredible. I know we're up against it. I wanted to make sure I did mention the Pacers. The Pacers are up 3-1 over the Milwaukee Bucks, and this Pacers team is scary.
They're so much fun. They're as good as they are,
mm-hmm.
and I think they're going to take the Cavs to 6. I think they're still 1 to 2 pieces away.
Oh, no, they are. But if you told me that series went 6 or 7, it would not surprise me.
No.
Not
at all.
I've mentioned this so many times before, and I may have to start walking this one back after what Ant Edwards has done. I had somebody ask me 2 years ago who I would build a franchise with, Hallie or Ant Edwards. And I said Hallie because I know what I get from him. I know what he is. And the other stuff you don't have to worry about. Hallie had 17 points, 15 assists, 8 rebounds on 6 of 11. He was incredible, and he has been incredible in the playoffs.
Yes.
Ant Edwards was a bleeping demon last night.
Dude, he's unbelievable. And the growth that he's taken this year compared to last year. Because
the big thing is it's the assists. It's the playmaking.
100%.
He has embraced that part of his game. And this was just a matter of months ago. It was January. We talked about, I don't want to be the guy that just makes passes out of double teams.
But it's the smart play.
That's how you win, dog!
It's the right play. Well, think about it. The Lakers in the fourth quarter blitzed him time after time after time. And he made the right move.
And Julius Randle and Jaden McDaniels hit shots.
And Naz Reid hasn't missed a shot in the fourth quarter this whole series. He hasn't missed a shot. He's 8 for 8. It's unbelievable. But it's because Ant Edwards is growing up. And I get why you would say Halliburton over Ant.
It's not on the court.
It's the total package.
It's like this is... I don't trust Ant. Like, I think he's going to... He's stepped in it so many times. I'm like, is he going to mature?
And it doesn't seem to stick with him, which is super interesting.
Because people like him because he's... It's the Carmelo Anthony.
I like him.
It's the Carmelo Anthony of it all. It doesn't matter that he forced his way to New York and got way less by going to New York and by forcing the trade instead of just going there as a free agent because he was selfish.
Right. Like, I forget about it with Ant all the time. Like, every time something like the child payment, the child, I'm the word.
Send a video.
I was going to say. The
The abortion demands.
You forget about, I forget about him. I am part of the problem in the forgetfulness
or
of what
the comments
is.
About the people hanging out outside of the gay bar.
Right.
Like,
that's not good.
No.
That's like, not okay.
And then you
but
see
it doesn't stick to him
no,
for some reason.
Because he's likable. He's affable. Oh, he's so fun. And if I see one more person comparing to Michael Jordan, I'm just going to jump off a bridge. Go win 6 titles before we start comparing you to Jordan. Get to the Western Conference Finals and advance. Like, I get it. He's got nice post footwork. As a basketball player, he's incredible. And he's doing things beyond what I even thought he could do.
Right.
But let's chill on that stuff. But I do want to give him credit. He has been unfreaking believable.
It feels, and he's got a long way to go because you're going to have to go through SGA and the Thunder, and probably you're going to have to go through Golden State, I'm assuming.
That'll be the next matchup, yeah. Let's see what happens tonight because Jimmy Butler may or may not go tonight for Golden State, but they did pull off a win without him.
Right, and we did this last year when he beat Jokic and went on to go and lose to the Mavericks. Mm-hmm. So this is getting ahead of my skis.
Remember, Luka torched him and gave him the same look that he gave Devin Booker.
This feels like Steph in 2015,
mm-hmm.
where he officially becomes a superstar.
Yep. He's stamping it right now.
And
there's
I think
no
that if you go through his last year where he beats Jokic and he gets to the Western Conference Finals, under the age of 25, he then goes and wins a gold medal. He's the only young player on that gold medal team that really got a lot of playing time. Remember, Tatum and Hallie didn't play
much. No, not at all.
Right. He's the young one that played.
Well, he is. He also thought he was going to be the star of that team, which he had to.
Yeah. Even Obama was like, chill out.
he needs to chill, dog.
Chill out. But then what he's doing and has the potential to do here, like there's a reason why he gets the face of the league comparisons.
Yep.
And talks about. Like, this is what he is.
So, we'll wrap today's show with a little news and note nuggy that, if you've been listening, Will has mentioned many times here today during his updates. The Ducks did pretty well at the draft. Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan. If you've been listening to Big Will Betts during his updates, he has mentioned the Oregon Ducks have set a new program record as the Ducks have 10 players drafted in the NFL draft. Dusty and I, when we were talking on Friday, going into the NFL draft weekend, he said at most the Ducks could get was 9.
Well, a couple guys went high. I mean, Dylan Gabriel
went a lot earlier than anybody thought.
I think we were talking about him being a 6th, 7th round guy, mm-hmm. and he ended up being a 3rd round guy. Terrence Ferguson went high. Jordan Birch went high. Jordan James, like, you knew he'd get taken more than likely, but he got picked up. Like, the Ducks really had a lot of guys who were on that fringe of being taken to where they could hit this record, and I'm happy that they were able to hit it.
Yeah, no, I mean, the Ducks over now for the last 6 years, a new program record, 6 straight first round picks. And then getting 10 total players. You get into double digits, man, that shows you how good your roster was. You know, you saw a lot of people coming out as Ohio State player after Ohio State player got drafted this year going, that Ohio State team apparently had some dudes. It's like, yeah. But this Oregon team, their one loss on the season came to Ohio State. So, there you go. Nice little shout out to the Ducks. You had yourself a nice little season. They did have their spring game. We will have Dusty hopefully back tomorrow, and we will talk all about that. Who shined? Who is poised to be the new face of the organization, of the program, as it were? We'll dive into some more playoff basketball. There's still a lot to go into that, including what the hell is going to happen to the Memphis Grizzlies, and then what comes out of tonight. It does sound like both Jrue Holiday and Jaylen Brown may not be available for the Boston Celtics in their next matchup against the Magic. And the Cleveland Cavaliers have the opportunity to put down the Miami Heat and start the Miami Heat tailspin for the offseason. We'll get into that more tomorrow, but coming up next, 4 hours of power from their mouths to your ears. I have no idea who's here, but it's going to be prime time. We'll catch you guys tomorrow. Have a wonderful day. For Will, Danny here. Take care. Talk soon. Bye.
Whoa. Okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included.
plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks, no cash access, and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
We the people of the ballpark are all in on baseball. We deserve dingers and dogs, sunshine and a beat, a place to take it all in and let it all out. Baseball for the people. Baseball is something else. Visit MLB.com/tickets and spend this summer with us. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.